All Business. All Business Bodybuilding with Joe Binley, Justin Compton, and Dominic Cardone starts now. What's going on, guys? Welcome to All Business Bodybuilding. My name is Luke. I'm here with Joe, Justin, and Dom. What's going on, guys? It's popcorn seasoning time.
All of them go good and everything, but that one especially.
Have you ordered like the special, like different flavors from online, like the chocolate flavor and stuff?
No, I haven't.
And the bacon flavor.
Are they good? Oh, I actually had the bacon flavor once. It was really good. I think I bought it in the store though.
They're a little overrated. I think they rushed them out and didn't make them as good as the other ones.
Popcorn seasoning.
That's funny.
So Justin, why don't you take us away a little bit on? We were talking a little bit before the show about like internet drama and people dealing with that bullshit. What's your take on that?
Oh man, we always see since like the beginning of social media, you've always seen people like airing out their dirty laundry online. And right. It just, I don't know, like, yeah, it can be quite comical to people like us to sit back and watch it. But the reality is, it's all fucking stupid. It's a waste of time. It builds stress on people, anxiety on people. I would much rather things go back to the way that they were before social media, and that was very simple. If you had a problem with someone, you confronted them, and if they, you either talk a solution out or you fist fight it. You just fucking do it a slugfest. You know, a point is, like, what the fuck did sitting here bitching and back and forth on social media ever prove? It's done nothing for nobody ever. But I will tell you this, if you get your fucking teeth knocked out, you'll learn a little bit of respect. So I think we need to revert back to those ways of literally just stomping someone into a fucking coma sometimes. But, you know, nowadays people would rather just screenshot. I love when they're like, oh, I'm going to screenshot that. And I'm like, yeah, I said what I said, bitch. I don't care what you screenshot. Fine. Like, what are you going to do with it? Like, screenshot it, post it. I don't fucking care. Like, I just wish things was like the old school way. Like, if you had a problem with somebody, you just either you go beat their ass or they're going to beat yours, one or the other. But either way, a problem is solved. So, right. All these conservatives out there is probably going to be like, oh, that's so wrong. But guess what? Violence solves problems.
Sometimes it does.
Like, you got somebody who's just continually harassing you or like saying stupid shit. Well, tell you what, you go literally knock them out fucking cold on the ground and kick their ribs a few times. That way they're sore and can't move for a week. Let's see if they run their mouth again.
Hey, no argument there.
But I just remember, like, probably around like 2013, once Instagram and Facebook started booming, it's like I seen everybody's like social media beef. And I'm like, guys, you all see each other multiple times a year at shows. Just fucking slug it out. And then you can make money on the YouTube views. I'll film it for you. You can monetize.
It is true, though.
No, it's even better reason. I get good entertainment. You guys make some money and the problem solved.
It is true. Some of the crazy shit like that went down with like Rich Piana and guys like that, those videos went crazy.
Rich never actually got into a fight or anything, did he?
Only with like Mack Truck, where they like fought at a expo one time, and his one guy like broke his knee or dislocated his knee or some shit. I mean, it got pretty crazy, but it went viral on YouTube and online. So I'm sure they made tons of money off that video. Yeah,
the clip that I saw looked pretty weak. If you want to call that a fight?
Oh, it was weak, but it went viral on online. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the way I look at it, it's like, if there's no blood or something on the ground, that's not really a fight. If somebody's not laying there with a paramedic over top of them trying to like make them wake up, or there's no blood all over the place, it's not a real fight. What the hell are you guys doing?
Tell us how you really feel.
I mean, <Woo! laughs> get the fucking job done.
I guess.
I don't really entertain people anymore, though. Like, I've been saying this for years. Even when I was a sponsored athlete, I didn't give a shit. It's like somebody was smart off online, like, hey, look, buddy. I'm at all the expos. Come approach me. We can handle this one-on-one however you wish to do so. And then that's why I said, I love it when they're like, well, I'm going to screenshot this. And I was like, well, you think I didn't think that far ahead? Because if I gave a fuck, I wouldn't have said it to you. Like, yeah. Really got me with the screenshot. I don't know, man. Maybe you should use that as blackmail. I'm going to pay you off not to post that, right?
That's funny. Yeah. I remember a couple years back, when was it? When Evan Santopani, like, smacked the kid in the gym because he was talking shit to him or something, and everybody went crazy over it.
I've heard a few stories on that. Evan's all like, I think me and Evan would agree on most of our philosophies in life.
Probably.
Yeah, Evan doesn't really care, because I've heard a few stories of him, like, apparently some kid pissed him off and he literally chased him from like the upstairs at the Montaneri Brothers gym all the way out the front door. And everybody downstairs just like, what the fuck? They just like stopped. And here's Evan come running through the gym after this kid. He never got him. Yes, the kid got away. Evan was probably too big to catch him. But
yeah. That's wild.
I can't remember. One of his friends told me he like was in traffic and some dude was blowing the horn. He's just like, all right, you know what? Pulls the car up in park and just gets out, and apparently made this other kid like shit his pants. I mean, the only downside that's a YouTube video. Is though, you know, you should never get out of your vehicle in traffic because you don't know what's waiting for you in that other car.
No.
Yeah. I mean, nowadays, most people have guns, so it's like,
yep.
If you're willing to get out of that car, you have to be willing to roll the dice on the risk that you may not go home that night.
Absolutely. Yep.
Because think about it. Someone Evan's size, being a little skinny kid that has a gun in the car, he's like, man, I ain't fighting this big motherfucker, and he pulls a gun out.
Yeah. Yep. That's wild. I know, Dom, you had some comment on that. You want to jump in?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely in the same boat as him. I mean, if anybody ever had something to say about it, to the level where I had to address it, you know, I'm gonna wait months. I'm gonna go right up to them at the show and address it with them whatever way I have to.
Right.
You know, not everything requires everybody punch in the face, because a lot of people talk, you know, through text message to other people about you as if they're all high and mighty, and then when you confront them, they turn into just a fucking crab going back into your shell.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know, because where I'm from, you know, if you had, I mean, you know, Justin says, you know, a fight isn't a fight unless somebody has a paramedic. Where I'm from, I mean, if somebody was really that bad, it would go to that level. But a lot of times, too, if you and somebody didn't get along and you couldn't talk it out, you would fight it out and then, you know, have a drink and that was it. It could have been squashed. Unfortunately, these days, it's not fucking like that anymore.
Right.
You know, two people could fight, shake their hands after and go separate ways. You know, then it could revert back to calling the cops or whatever, you know, doing something, you know, if that should have been done at that fact. But, you know, the whole going back and forth with personal issues on social media, I'm not for. I'd rather just address it with somebody in person with the way that calls for. And that, because, like, I get where I'm from, you let one thing slip, other people see that and they're going to jump all over you, you know, because they
see
it's seen as a weakness. Like I said, every situation is different, but at least it's how I was raised. Defend yourself when you have to defend yourself. You confront when the situation calls to be, you know, to be confronted, and that's it. You know,
yeah.
Like the thing is, too, today people are so quick to talk violence and this and that, talk all this shit, and then when you know you confront them on it, a fight happens. Next thing you know, you're being served papers for court, or you know, it's just it's kind of sucks in a way. Because you can get sued for every little thing these days, and you know, kids are being brought up to where they can't even defend themselves. And that's why I think bullying is a big problem. I know I'm going off another tangent. That's why I think bullying is a big problem. You know, kids are doing it in school, on social media. And, you know, you have that kid, he feels that he can't confront that person because he's going to get in trouble. So right. It just gets worse and worse and worse. And then, you know, God forbid, like we see a lot of times, the kid normally either kills himself or lashes out to other people in so, you know, I'm with Justin on that, because you know, men should be men and confront each other on the differences or whatever it is, and then you know, situation calls for it, move on. But today, everybody's way too sensitive. Everybody's way too comfortable talking behind a screen. But then when it comes in person, it's just you hear the stuttering. So
yeah, and they got a lawyer on speed dial. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, the key with that is you have to be, I mean, let's say this, I don't have any assault charges on my record, so we'll just put that out there in the clear. The key to doing it successfully is to know how to handle a situation. Like, how do I say this? Like, if somebody runs their mouth to you online and you just walk up and blindside them, yeah, they're probably going to press charges on you. You have to know how to handle it accordingly. And honestly, if you're really smart and you actually can keep your cool, you can trigger them into making it a self-defense case.
Right. Yeah. Which, wow, where are we going with this?
Happened the time before. Where are we going?
I needed to hear this before the aircon machine guys came earlier on.
That's funny. You know, I could definitely see Joe in a ring with the keto guy. Who's that keto guy that you always call on online?
Don't get me started with that fucking piece of shit. How did you fucking know? Like, he started again this weekend. Oh my God. He's a fucking dick. Like, someone actually called him out this weekend and made a video about him saying what a fake piece of shit he is. Paul Saladino.
Really?
Paul Saladino, MD. The MD is nothing to do with, like, anything qualifications. It's money-driven. This fucking piece of shit. Now he's like, he pulled a study up saying, like, oh, well, you can eat, like, honey. Honey is completely different. It acts different to sucrose. He then proceeded to quote a study of 8 people. And like it was like 2 standard deviations, like variance, which their blood glucose numbers, the standard deviation was 24. So it was like 48 one side and 48 the other side. So basically, the ranges for 8 participants with sucrose was between honey or something, was like 100 to 200 impact on their blood glucose versus a deviation, I don't know, like 16. So there was essentially no difference, no statistical significance to what he quoted. And the postprandial 30-minute glucose rate with honey was higher, and then it dropped below, and he was claiming it's a good thing. It's like, no, dickhead, that means it has more of an insulin response, and you've secreted a shit ton more insulin to clear the glucose, which was elevated more quickly than the fucking sucrose, the table sugar. I'm like, you're a fucking dick. And he's like, yeah, he's like, now you can have like this in your diet because he's sponsored by honey companies. I'm like, you're telling people to eat fucking red meat and high saturated fats and fucking butter and then put in sugars? I'm like, are you fucking retarded? That's the quickest thing to cause insulin resistance and disease. Like, are you fucking mongoloid? Like, I don't know, this probably needs editing out, but you triggered me, that fucking dick. It's so funny that you mentioned it, because it was literally yesterday, I saw the video of a guy called Bart Kay. He just pulled him apart. He's a scientist. He just completely pulled him apart and ripped him to pieces. I'm like, thank God, he's got like no credibility left. And I picked this guy out before he even came into the carnivore space. When he was intimating to come into like the keto carnivore, he was still doing his residency and he was making posturing to enter. And I even messaged Sean Baker. I was like, this guy's a piece of shit, watch him. And like, yeah, well, he played his role. And now people 2.5 years later are starting to see through him. Dom, isn't it funny how this always happens?
Yeah, may not be the next month, but eventually people catch on, because what's that saying? A wolf can only, I don't even know the fucking saying here. I'm making a quote that I don't even know. You know, people can only be behind the mask for so long until, you know.
Yeah.
A wolf in sheep's clothing, right?
Yeah, something like that. Who the fuck?
Yeah, you know what? It just annoys me because I'm aware of things much quicker than anybody else. I can read people. So I look like I'm off my head, or it's like, oh, you're too judgmental, you're too harsh. I'm like, and then people, it takes like 6 months, a year, and then people are like, yeah, you're kind of right about that guy.
Yeah, you definitely are a good judge of character, I'll say that much.
Fuck yeah. Great question. Low timing. I was awesome. Gonna be quiet or I'd lose my shit. There you go, you got your answer.
Hey, all right. That was awesome. Well, I mean, it makes sense, and you know, we got to call people out regardless. So, but we do have a good question that'll take us down a couple rabbit holes, and for the listeners and for these guys especially, what would you guys do different if you could redo your worst prep and your worst off season? Go in depth. Who wants to go first?
In terms of the off season part of things, I'm not real sure that it's not going to be too depthful, so to say.
Okay.
So obviously, people like Joe's told this story a couple times, like how I used to be very, very anal about my food. I realistically think that I would have progressed more and faster had I have actually incorporated more cheat meals and actually had a little bit more of a balance in my life. And I would have been a happier person too. I simply didn't know how to do it. I was never, I wouldn't say that I was never taught, because I probably was taught. I just chose to ignore it. Like, I was literally a guy who would do like one cheat meal every 2 weeks or 3 weeks, maybe in the off season. And I didn't really have a lot of social life. But anyways, my point is, I do think having your body and your mind aligned is going to ultimately produce a better athlete. And my mind was not aligned with where I was putting my body at. So I think that would have helped. Basically, so just to kind of sum that up, that means I'm not telling everybody to go out and have junk food all the time, because you don't need it. But however, when you're up to like 8,000 calories a day of clean food, I think it's time that you can handle a little bit of junk food in there, in order to just get to meet my caloric demands. Now, as far as prep goes, this could be a long one, but in the past, I kind of wish I would have started out a little bit more like my longer preps. I wish I would have been very aggressive right out of the gate, and then I could have just coasted into the show. That's a very easy, that's a quick answer, but to make great things a little bit more detailed, I made a lot of other mistakes. I'm going to go on a limb and say diuretics was the one thing that I would have changed differently that caused me to have a very poor prep. Because I'm sure anyone with any experience with this, positive or negatively, will know that you can put in 16 weeks of work in a prep and blow it in 24 hours. So, and diuretics is usually the fault to that. So if I could go back in time, I probably would have taken a lot less diuretics in a couple of shows. Not that I did a whole lot of them to begin with, but sometimes, again, less is more. Okay, cool. We got really quiet there.
Yeah. I was like,
I was going to tune in on the diuretics as well. I mean, last show that I didn't use them, I mean, I was on Aldactone. And I'm pretty sure there was obviously diazide and layered in some. God, the name's fucking slipping my mind now. What's the Lasix?
Bumex.
My water was cut like on the Wednesday or the Thursday before a Sunday show, which was like horrible. Like, I'm normally vascular shit. I couldn't get any veins. I had black eyes for a week afterwards. I didn't pee for 3 days afterwards. It was super dangerous, and it just ruined everything. It's been, and that was with the advice of someone who I actually really like and respect. Like, I just think they were too busy and took their eye off the ball because they were the IFBB pro overseas at the time, and was just kind of like not really with it. But yeah, I mean, diuretics just kill people. So for prep, it's definitely that. And then in off season, I'm going to go the other end of Justin, when I just like ate everything in sight and gained so much weight. I can gain weight so fucking quickly. But I think it was 2007, and I just finished university and started my job at the supplement company. And the guy there was my mentor. He was junior Mr. Universe, 6'1", blonde hair. He was the owned the business. He looked after me a lot, and he was like, "Just eat everything. Just like eat everything." And that's really not a good thing to tell me, because I can eat. I mean, I'll dig the picture out so you can post it. And I was like, I think I put on like 63 pounds in 5 weeks.
Holy shit!
Something like, which was, it was messy, but it took me 9 months to diet that off.
Wow.
My metabolism was completely like troughed. Like,
shit.
Yeah. And it was like starvation diet for 9 months, just trying to get some of the weight to move, because it was just a combination. It was all types of, I remember getting up during the night to have to train at 6 a.m. I would get up and eat like a half box, maybe, or a box of cereal at like 3 a.m. before I tripped, so I was like fully carved up before, and that's where I was getting the rotisserie chicken, thigh and wings every night, like 24 pieces with a couple of racks of ribs, and ate that while I was driving home. I mean, I must have been on, God knows, 9,000-10,000 calories a day easily, because, so Damn. Just having a really shit off season where you're just eating a ton of food. And I actually want to disagree a little bit with Justin, even though he knows himself way better. I think a really structured off season's better for health purposes, and cheats are more beneficial in prep for one reason, and that's the amount of pro-inflammatory foods and foods that do damages on a cellular level are going to be much more amplified when you're a continuous calorie surplus versus when you're in a deficit all the week and burning through them quickly and they're not being stored. And I think that's never talked about or overlooked. So
I would agree.
And that's, a lot of that's to do with not the sugars and things like that. A lot of it's to do with when you're eating a lot of oxidized fats, like you're having fries, like they're vegetable oils that are like oxidized because they're at high temperatures. So just something to bear in mind when you're like structuring your cheat meals, like what you're actually putting into your body. Like healthier options are obviously going to be like sushi, and you'd have calorie dense things, but in the off season, I feel food quality is much more important when you're in a continuous calorie surplus than it is when you're in a deficit.
I definitely agree with what you're saying there for the most part. Is that me or you like having an echo?
It was echoing a little bit, but it stopped now.
Oh, okay. I agree with what you're saying as far as that goes, but I mean, I completely agree with it. But for me, where my calories were so high, like I didn't really know how to eat any more rice, potatoes, or oats, or any type of carb powder at that point either. So,
yeah, I mean, just the food quality. Like if I was coaching you back then, Justin, it would have been like, or with my knowledge now, it's like, okay, how can we get calories in, but make sure it's still of a reasonable quality and it's not going out like eating McDonald's or like Five Guys fries. Like the burger's fine and stuff, but it's like, where can we, I don't want oxidized fats going in to cause more inflammation, and that's going to hinder or increase your chances of becoming insulin resistant more quickly and cutting your off season short.
Like, what's, well, I think the other way that I could have been very well with things is, I know you're a big fan of this and I'm a big fan of it now myself, is getting in more animal fats. And the way that I would do things is, it was always white fish, chicken breast, or like the leanest beef that I could get. I wish I would have maybe lightened up on that, maybe went with some salmon, which salmon's not my favorite food, but you know, I can tolerate it. Or even get some fattier beef, you know, something like 80-20, or instead of doing chicken breast, add in chicken thighs.
Yeah, your oatmeal, add some flax seeds, some chia seeds, some, add some walnuts. Like, you know, there's easy ways of getting some decent fats with not, that are not being oxidized into people's diets. It's really simple. You know, you don't even notice them.
There's one other thing here that I'm going to touch on that I feel like a lot of people are going to say, or a lot of people are going to like pause when they hear this. One thing I wish I would have done differently, and this goes for prep. Again, people are going to like not expect to hear this from me, but I wish I would have taken more gear than what I did.
Oh,
because by comparison. Hello. Around me, I feel like I was very, very low.
Lost you guys.
What was that?
I heard Dom say he lost us.
No, not me. I have it muted.
Oh, I thought you said I lost you guys.
I think that was.
Oh, I was just saying.
Dom breaks up.
Because I feel like a lot of my preps, I ended up burning through a lot of muscle just with my metabolism.
Caveat to that, Justin, you were still pretty young in terms of your career, so you have a lot of wiggle room for years left in your career. You know,
that's
so you,
what I justified the saving it for.
Yes.
Yeah, but I didn't want to be a guy at like 23 years old that's taking, you know, stuff that a guy at 20 that's been doing this for 20 years.
Cool.
What's going on with Dom? He just pops in for one word. Is he trying to talk and cutting out? Or?
No, that's not me. I haven't muted the whole. I'm listening. I think that was Luke.
Yeah, that was me. I couldn't hear you guys, so no worries. You're good. Everything's going. So everybody went dark for a second.
Well, Justin, I mean, you're not going to burn through muscle. You'd be on enough anabolics to keep tissue. I mean, that would indicate that there's something else off with the diet. Oh, your calories were a little bit low. Like, it didn't look like you lost a lot of tissue.
That's the thing, though, is like when people saw me on stage, I always showed up like significantly bigger every time, but I would just know where I'm at in the off season for where I actually ended up. I was always like 5 to 10 pounds should have
been. And I don't did you always pull your GH?
No. Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Typically I was the guy that would run it all the way to like Wednesday or Thursday.
The only other thing I can really think of is like if you ran too flat for too long, it's hard for people to fill out. So if you've gone like maybe weeks 4 through till 2 pretty low on food without filling out properly, then you know, I always think that at least 2 weeks out, especially someone with your muscle mass, they're probably going to need 1 or 2 days of significant overfeeding to fill out before they drop down again. I don't know what your preps were like back then.
And I never did that. You're right. I probably should have taken like 2 weeks out and just had like a couple of days
just to rest and eat and let your body relax and completely fill out and spill over before you drop back down, because you'd fill out much easier again after.
Yep. Yeah, just a prime example of that, and I'm going to make a post about him today, is Sean Berman, a guy that I trained in Australia. He won the, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not sure the name of these shows. I think it's the Mr. Queensland. It's in Victoria.
Yeah, it was this weekend, right?
No, he won that last weekend. I guess it would have been about 8 days ago now.
Okay.
And then he got second at the Arnold 2 days ago, 2 or 3 days ago. So I'm obviously quite biased here, but, you know, I had Sean winning that. But my point is, I filled him up pretty well for the first contest. And quite frankly, leading into the second contest wasn't really that hard to fill him out. It was quite easy.
Mm.
His body kind of held on to it.
Yeah. Because you're teaching your body something. Well, not teaching, that's probably the wrong way. But it's done something that it can remember how to do not too long ago, which is fill out. I mean, that's a real like bro science way of putting it, obviously, you know. But so when you've been flat for 2-3 weeks, like, you know, like if you have a refeed for 1 day, it's hard for you to actually fill and spill in 1 day, because metabolism picks up, and the next day, like, even if you fill out a little bit, the next day it's racing that you flatten out the day after again. It's really hard to hold it, you know.
Fuck.
There you go. So Dom, you had a lot to say on this particular subject. So do you want to, would you have eaten like 75 English muffins?
I wouldn't have eaten English muffins at all. But
Tom, you love the English muffins, though. You were the one asking for them. I think it was just your favorite food at that time, right?
I ate it that whole offseason. I ate it that whole prep. But it wasn't even just the peak week I would have changed. It was the entire prep from 6 weeks out till the showtime. So I started prep around 23 weeks out for that one. We wanted a longer one to try to come in bigger and come in, you know, obviously conditioned. Around 6 weeks out, it was about 250. I mean, knowing my body, I was a couple weeks away from being ready. And normally when I hit a weight during a prep, I stay that weight until it's time to pull water and I drop, you know, maybe up to 10 pounds. So I was around 250, and I was even impressed with how I looked looking back in the pictures. And then, you know, that's when my mom went into the coma. So that whole coma period lasted about 3.5 weeks. So basically we lived in the hospital, you know, cause we didn't want to leave her alone in the ICU. So me and my dad would do rotation. So, you know, I would stay awake for 30 plus hours, maybe go home, take a little bit of a nap, get my stuff, go back. And we would rotate like that. So you have high stress on top of not sleeping. I mean, for 30 hours plus, which was insane. So I remember, you know, I was also training with Oscar at the time. He would come to Manhattan, train me in the city. So the training sessions were extremely intense, extremely heavy, high volume. So one thing I would have done, I would have pulled the volume down on the training a little bit, because it was very high, along with the, it was pretty heavy I was lifting as well. So there was drop sets, high reps, heavy sets. So I would have pulled that down quite a bit. And since the fact that I wasn't really sleeping, you know, I was on about 75 mcgs of T3. I was just doing what I was told, 75 mcgs of T3. I would have pulled that down to probably like 12.5. And I would have had, you know, days where I refeeded, you know, on just clean food. And there was times where I could have used a burger and fries because my body was just so fucking depleted. It would have needed a bit more to sustain itself from the training, the lack of sleep. So I would have definitely added in a bit more food, definitely carbs for sure. I would have had those clean refeed days just to revitalize things, especially in the days, you know, if I didn't go to the hospital that day and I had time to sleep, I would have just slept and ate and not trained to do cardio that day. So I was doing cardio, I was training, not sleeping, watched my body just wither away. Well, not even wither. It happened pretty quickly day by day for that prep. So eating more definitely and getting, you know, fed would have been a big thing. I remember at one point, it was like about 2 or 3 in the morning. I remember because just I would get bored and take a walk around the hospital. And I walk around, I remember, I'm like, I'm not even hungry. And my stomach was even a little bit distended. And for me during prep, that's not normal. And, you know, obviously not sleeping and stress will fuck up your digestion. And I would have just controlled those variables way a bit more and been on top of that day by day just to keep my body from sucking down the way it did, because that's never happened to me in my life. And I've also never been in that position in my life. So about a week out, I was like 228. Mind you, I turned pro at two. I had to make weight at 225. So I had to drop a few pounds to make weight in 2014. And here we are 2 years later. And, you know, it's 228 days out from a week out from the show. You know, then we started out Dactone a week out, 3 days out, we started the diazide and cutting water back. There was no salt in my diet whatsoever. A couple of days out, I was only eating English muffins and egg whites, nothing else. So with the peak week, I would have definitely never used the L-Dactone. I would have definitely never pulled my water back on Wednesday. I would have kept it up till Friday. I would have definitely had salt in there. And one thing, I would have definitely had some sort of fats in there, either coming from, you know, a fatty steak, peanut butter, coconut oil, whatever it could have been at the time to help sustain my body, because it was a total train wreck. The day after the show, I was 204. And that was after eating and drinking. So God knows what I weighed on stage. I mean, I felt like I was like 90 pounds. Yeah. And I wasn't, you know, I wasn't shitting. I wasn't even pissing, even with all the diarrhea. I mean, there was a lot of diazide that was taken. I remember I'll go to the bathroom and just like dribble. As everybody may or may not know, Joe is staying with me the night of the show. I remember Chris came in the night before the show. Chris comes in to take a look at me, and I just couldn't even pose because my stomach, I felt like I was being stabbed in the stomach. And then later that night, the gas was just so, I almost killed Joe with the gas because everything was packed in my stomach. I mean, you have English muffins, no water, and a dry carb such as you have English muffins, which is a dry carb, no water, and egg whites, and no salt. So what is all that going to do? It's just going to be packed in your stomach. I'm surprised I didn't get any health issues at that show. My blood work weeks after was fine. Shockingly, I was waiting. Like, I was really, really nervous about what was to happen after that, after all the smoke was settled. But yeah, that's definitely what I did. Would have been way more intuitive with that prep, because every day was unpredictable. Either it was you're going to be awake for, you know, almost the past 2 days or whatever it was, or not. You know, I was sleeping. I found the closet in the hospital I was sleeping at times, where I stole a pillow and I would just try to doze off for an hour. So it would have been way more intuitive and day by day with what was going on, because it was just always some sort of wrench being thrown in the sink. And, you know, being on high T3, almost no carbs, all fish, and training the way I did just, you know, killed me. And the fact too, that I had a lot of gear that was fake at the time. My normal source was, you know, not doing anything. So I had to use other stuff. So I was basically relying on whatever I had that was farm grade and GH. It was just a fucking complete disaster from, you know, 6 weeks out all the way to the day of the show, including that peak week. 2 weeks after the show, I was 235 in my first guest posing. I actually looked pretty damn good. I remember Steve Weinberger comes up to me. He's like, what the hell did you do? And I was just told him, oh, it's just a long story. A lot happened. And yeah, that was that prep. I mean, I would have done everything different from 6 weeks out on. Up to 6 weeks out, I was fucking, my legs were the biggest everywhere. My arms, my chest, my abs were great. My back was great. I could have been ready in a couple weeks, knowing how my body works. But, you know, obviously that happened. But the whole thing would have been different from nutrition, water, salts in the peak week, eating, you know, having to eat to fill up, you know, during those last few weeks. It was just, my body was just totally trashed. And that was it. But that's the only prep. I mean, every other prep, I didn't really use much salt either because I was never told to. So I just relied on whatever was in my seasonings and my mustard or whatever, which wasn't really anything. So I was never even close to 100% on stage. I always just did what I was told, because I just wouldn't question what I'm being told with, you know, with getting ready for these shows. So, but yeah, that's definitely the one prep that I would change everything around in. Everything.
Oof. That's wild to think you were like 198 on stage. Dude. Or around there.
Yeah, I was 196 when I was 18. So how, below 200 is and not in the hospital or something is just beyond right. me.
Wild. Joe was there and experienced it. Yeah, what would you have changed, Joe?
I would have got a different room.
And it was me and Joe. I think it was me and Joe's second time meeting, because the first time we met was when he came to New York.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Probably not the best way to enamor yourself to your sponsor.
First, I know, right?
First rooming together. I'm just fucking guessing. Wild.
It was an experience. I mean, I just landed. I flew in from England to go to that show to see Dom.
Right.
Because it was Body Power the week before, and we were exhibiting at Body Power. So I literally got over that on the Sunday. I think I packed, got home on the Monday, packed on the Tuesday, and bounced out on the Thursday, straight out to New York to head out for that. So, yeah, it was a jet-lagged experience with a lot of hot air and gas. Then he took his grill with him and left me to eat like 2 pounds of raw steak with my hands the next day.
I remember the day after.
Jesus, Tom.
He was like, "You took the grill." I was in a whole other world. I mean, I remember getting tanned, and I went in to go get tanned, and of course, Ruly had a tan next to me, and I'm looking at him, I'm like, "What the fuck am I doing here?" And I actually almost collapsed. And then I had to go fucking scrum, on a tape.
Is it break? I can't hear Dom. He's breaking.
Yeah. I hear wind in the background again. Yeah.
I don't have a fan. The phone's not even moving. There's nothing in here moving.
Well, it's just breaking up all the time.
That's yeah, it was weird. It kind of sounded like you were walking outside in the wind to me.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm like, in place. The phone hasn't moved or anything.
Hmm. Oh, shit.
But that's no worries.
I know, right? That's your farting. You're farting into the phone. Thanks, Tom. Good job.
We had we had the photo shoot the next day, and we like tried to fill you out and rehydrate you overnight. I remember that as well.
Yeah, raging full muffins, apple turnovers. I think it was. Those were actually really good. I remember sitting in my car eating that, and you know we had a little something going, but it took 2 weeks to even get back up to 235, which actually looked pretty decent. I was still a little deflated, but I was round. I was fairly hard. You know, I looked pretty good on stage, and that was it after that. That's the last time I was in shape like that. So, you know, it sucks too, because I didn't even have an off season after that. I fell off the face of the earth. And, you know, I constantly compare myself to me at my best during that prep, like today. And I forget I can't do that because we're 5 years later, five years later this May from that. And, you know, I'm dealing with all these other things. So it's just, I just can't wait to fucking get back on stage, man. I can't wait to, you know, get back to, you know, where I'm supposed to be and how I'm supposed to feel and do it all over again and do it right. So
it's funny, Dom, how long your body stays dead for. Because after I had that prep and like with all those diuretics and stuff, my body was dead for about 3 or 4 weeks. And when I say that, like, I was really fucking scared. And I mean, you know some of the dumb shit I've done. Like, I'll experiment and do. I was really fucking scared. I couldn't do more than, like, a set in the gym without my central nervous system crashing. And then I was exhausted, like, literally after one or two sets of anything for weeks. But I couldn't gain weight. And for me not to be able to gain weight is, like, I was like, man, I'm kind of scared that I might be dead. But I'm kind of enjoying the fact that I can eat. And I went to the Olympia because my show was the week before the Olympia, I think. It was the Welsh Nationals. So I flew out and Jordan Peters was out. Like, Jordan had gone out for the Olympia. And we were friends, but, like, not as tight as we became. So we hung out and I was eating with Jordan. And he was like, holy fuck. He's like, where are you putting all of that? Like, I must have been on 2,000 grams of carbs every single day that I was out at the Olympia for like 6-7 days. Like, we would eat out and I was going back to like rice. Like, you get the portions of rice. I was getting like 5-6 portions of rice, which is normally like 2 cups, like maybe 8 or 10 cups for a sitting. He was like, where is that going? I was like, I couldn't get a vein. I couldn't train. He was like, that's just wild. So it's like some of the internal damage done with direct use. I don't even think we know the full extent and how long it can linger.
That's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, it definitely lingered on for me for a while because, like, I was very up and down. Like I said, I got up to 235 in 2 weeks. I usually, after shows, I overspill horribly. And even if
it's funny you say that, Don, because it did catch up, but it was 3 weeks later. And then it wouldn't stop. I remember being at the Arnold Spain. It started 2 days before that. So it was literally, so it was 2 weeks after the Olympia, and I was out in Madrid. And I remember waking up one morning, I think I probably told this story, I couldn't see. I was like, am I blind or what? Like, I was freaking out. I'm like, I can't see. It was water retention. My eyes had that much water that I couldn't open them. I had to sit on the edge of the bed for about 10 minutes or so, just to let the water drain down from my face. And then all the time walking around the Arnold, it felt like I had Wellington boots on filled with water. It was squelching.
Wow, that's crazy.
Weird, because like I said, I usually overspill very easy after a show. I remember it happened for Nationals, and I couldn't even take my fucking tank top off. Everything else looked good, but I never overspilled for the months after. I remember even like 4 months after, I still had abs. I still looked, you know, I was still soft, but I still had abs, which isn't important to me. I took a run lat spread like a month after in my house. I still have the picture. And still pretty, I mean, I didn't have that same fullness, but I was still dry as fuck somehow. The whole thing was just very weird. I remember I didn't shit right for 2 weeks. I couldn't go to the bathroom. It was pretty fucking scary. You know, I wasn't as bad as you were, but it was pretty scary. And that was it.
That's crazy. Yeah,
so for anyone listening, when we say don't do something, like, it's probably because we've tried it and it's really fucking stupid.
Don't do it.
Do as I say, not as I do, like my dad always said.
Exactly. Shit. So before we roll out of here, let's touch on the Olympia. I know, Joe, you said that they did the official qualification date, which was, I think you mentioned, September 12th. What's your feedback on that, gentlemen?
I have a lot of feedback other than, you know, kind of what we had discussed previously is it's going to be
luck,
a short season for the athletes.
Good luck staying on for the full year.
Yeah, right. That's pretty much what they're going to have to do.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to mention it because it was announced this morning. So, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, even if you're prepping in May and you get your qualification early, what are you going to do? You're going to be starting prep. You're going to have to prep. It's going to be September and August. You're going to be deep in prep again. So, I mean, what you got, 8 weeks to kind of like, you ain't fucking cleaning out and shit like that then. What a fucking situation to be in.
Yeah, that sucks. It's definitely.
Oops, sorry, Luke.
No. Go ahead. You jump. No, but,
yeah, it's definitely way, way too short. I mean, got most guys, I assume, didn't really take a break after this previous Olympia, thinking that it's going to be, you know, December next year. Maybe they didn't. I don't think a lot of them did. At least seeing a lot of their pictures.
You've got to look now. If guys are not starting to like look into shape now, then it's like they're playing Russian roulette because there's going to be a ton of people competing at these shows.
Yeah, so this looking fucking freaky leading up to the Olympia, but we can see people just getting worse throughout the year. You know, it's going to be, you know, like just Russian roulette, not only with health, but with how they look. So this year could be a great year with how they look, or everybody's just whittled down by Olympic time. And then it may be underwhelming, you know? But there's definitely not enough time, I feel.
Dom, you're breaking up again, dude.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on over there. But no, we got...
It sounds like the wind. I'm not moving.
It's not affecting you. Nothing's affecting you breaking up, dude. It must be something with your Wi-Fi.
Yeah, no, I haven't moved. It's only when that sound comes on, though, that you guys say that.
That's weird. So what do you think once we catch up this year, guys, and do you think they're going to keep this schedule? What do you guys think? Or do you think they're going to fuck it up and go kind of backwards again?
I don't expect a whole lot to change, but then again, it kind of depends on, I kind of feel like obviously this is not for the athlete. You know, they may say it is, it's not.
Right.
I kind of feel like their hand may be a little bit forced, so to say, with COVID, and that's how they're doing this. So maybe next year, which I, you know, I want to say that and be optimistic, but the reality is this COVID lockdown, it's not going anywhere. It's, guys, get used to it because it's not changing. But maybe if it does change, they may try to go a little bit back to the old ways. That would be my hope anyways.
Yeah. Has anybody said anything about like a permanent change to Florida, or is that still kind of seem like it's just for now?
What do you mean for the Olympia being here?
Yeah. Like, has anybody heard anything about a permanent change, or is it just seems like that's,
I hope it's permanent. I haven't heard anything either way. I mean, I hope it's permanent because I think they had, under the circumstances, I mean, they had a fucking sold out crowd this year.
Yeah.
At least I thought so. So I would leave it. I mean, not that they don't have a sold out crowd in Vegas. Don't get me wrong. But if this is what it takes for them to have the show under today's circumstances, then they definitely just need to leave it here.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, things aren't going to change. This week, this year, next year, it's not going to change. So you might as well embrace it.
I know, right? We might end up being the independent nation of Florida soon.
Yeah.
Florida, Texas. I was going to say Texas right there now.
I know, right? Jesus. So, cool. All right, gentlemen. Well, we are at an hour, so let's roll out of here, and we'll catch up next week.
All right, man.
All right, guys. Hasta la vista.
Later, guys.
Do you think you have what it takes to be part of the most elite team out there? If you've got the AD gene, then visit farm.projectad.me and apply now.